Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now call in on the dueling images of Jokhar Tsarnaev. Do you think it matters if he looks like a rock star on the cover of Rolling Stone or dirtied and bloodied in the photos of his capture released by a Boston police sergeant? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. You know, that's the latest wrinkle, if you haven't heard. Late last week, without permission from his police department, Sergeant Sean Murphy in Boston, who took those shots as a department photographer when Tsarnaev was caught on April 19th, released them to Boston Magazine. And now Murphy faces a departmental discipline hearing tomorrow. What do you think should happen to him? And do you think it matters how the public sees these Tsarnaev pictures or how they see him in pictures, for better or for worse? 212-433-WNYC. Now, the big outcry, and I'm going to give you a slightly different way to look at these, potentially. The big outcry has been over whether the Rolling Stone cover inadvertently perhaps glorified the alleged violent jihadist, which could help recruit other young Muslims into murderous radicalism. And if a photo is usually worth 1,000 words, its value must be going up, considering all that's been said already about the Rolling Stone cover and the passion it inspired in the police photographer, Sean Murphy, to get these otherwise unreleased capture photos out. So does any of this matter? 212-433-9692. I would love to hear from some Muslims on these images as well as from anyone else. And here's the alternative take on this whole mess that might give critics of Rolling Stone and peace-loving Muslims alike a moment of pause. I saw an anti-Muslim email thread going around that says the Rolling Stone cover can be seen as a warning that even assimilated-looking young Muslims could be violent radicals. Have you heard that framing? Muslims, anyone else, what do you think? If a soft-focus, bedroom-eyes Tsarnaev is the new face of terrorism on the cover of Rolling Stone, replacing the mean gaze of Osama bin Laden or Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who wins and who loses from that anyway? Does that do more to make terrorism sexy or to turn even the most westernized-looking, assimilated Muslim Americans into suspects, guilty just for walking around until proven innocent, a little like Trayvon Martin? 212-433-WNYC. Or can we learn a lesson from the absurdity of the dueling photo releases about not judging any human being by their outward appearances, including long beards or turbans or traditional Middle East clothing, or looking ordinary, whatever that is? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. What do you think, folks, as you see the dueling Tsarnaev images? We'll take your calls right after this. WNYC, as we ask, do the dueling Tsarnaev images on the cover of Rolling Stone and the grittier ones released by the police photographer who captured his capture on film, what do you think? As your calls are coming in, I'll read just a little bit from the Rolling Stone article, because the cover is getting all the heat, but the piece itself kind of argues for being scared, not for seeing him as a role model. It says, Jihar was on no one's watch list. To the contrary, after several months of interviews with friends, teachers, and coaches, still reeling from the shock, what emerges is a portrait of a boy who glided through life showing virtually no signs of anger, let alone radical political ideology, or any kind of deeply felt religious beliefs. It says all of the Tsarnaev children went to Rinj, as the school is known, but it was Jihar who assimilated best, though he'd arrived in America speaking virtually no English By high school, he was fluent with only a trace of an accent, and he was also fluent in the local patois. Among his favorite words, his friends say, was sherm, Cambridge slang for slacker. And he wore grungy Pumas and had a great three-point shot, and et cetera, et cetera. In other words, he was like an American kid. So does that make you scared of anybody and everybody, or does it make him glorified and his pursuit glorified that he's on the cover of the Rolling Stone? And what do you think about these dueling images at all? Marva in Manhattan, you're on the air. Marva, thanks so much for calling in.
Hello.
Hi, yeah. Marva. Go ahead.
Hi. No, I'm calling to say that the cover, if people would read the story, would understand the story better. But the thing about Americans is he reminds them of white America. And in white America's mind, we do not look like him and commit crime. That is why the cover is causing such an uproar. If he was a black man, they would have no problems putting him on the cover. But he's a white man. He looks like somebody I would want my daughter to marry.
Marva, thank you very much. Bob in Morristown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. What are you thinking?
I think we focus way too much on cosmetics. The trivial, the cosmetic seems to capture society and not the substance. This is the face of evil. And whether it looks glamorous or not, it's still the face of evil. So I'm not sure what the uproar is about.
Thank you very much. Nick in Newark, Delaware. You're on WNYC. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how are you?
Or do you say Newark?
Good. So I really think that putting him on the cover of this magazine is really just going to make other kids look up to him and think, well, I know I'm not going to make it a rock and roller. I know I'm not going to get known making YouTube videos. So they'll go out and do something that they normally wouldn't do, bring a gun somewhere. They'll plant a bomb. They'll do something that'll get them that recognition that they never had the chance to have before.
But could it really be that? Could it really be that easy? I mean, are kids so easily swayed into something that would be so unconscionable, not to mention destroy the rest of their own lives, just because they saw somebody look glamorous on a magazine cover?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why kids smoke cigarettes. That's why they do drugs. It's self-destructive, but it gives them that they think that they're reaching that level. They think that they're going to be a part of that group. They do these things they normally wouldn't do because they think it makes them look better in the eyes of other people or notoriety.
Nick, thank you very much. Listeners, do you agree? Are people that impressionable, that swayable? Zafar in Edison, you're on WNYC. Hi, Zafar.
Hi, good morning, Brian. My view on this issue is I think both are wrong. Being a Muslim Pakistani American, I feel Muslims, by very many fellow Americans and the law enforcement, are seen as guilty until proven innocent. For example, I have been stopped very many times on the airports, totally unnecessarily, just because of my name. Mm-hmm. And the police sergeant also did wrong because he should not take the law in his own hand. He is the law. He's the face of the law. If he wanted to issue those pictures, he should have asked proper approval from his superiors. We all have to abide by the law. I think the both pictures are wrong in a nutshell.
Do you think that the Rolling Stone cover, the way he appears there, does more to recruit other Americanized Muslim kids or American Muslim kids to terrorism, as the previous caller was suggesting? Or do you think it might actually do more to make more Americans more afraid of more Muslims? You know, you talked about getting stopped at the airport because of your name, maybe also your accent. If even people like Jokhar Tsarnaev are now feared as potential terrorists, and of course anybody might do anything, then does that work against the perception of Muslims in the United States, do you think?
I think it absolutely works against the Muslim perception. and Muslim ideas. First of all, anything wrong happens or anything terroristic happens in America, the Muslims start praying and get scared. For God, please don't make another Muslim, involved in it. Just because one idiot does something wrong, we all are convicted in the eyes of our fellow Americans. I'm not saying all of them, but lots of them. And this portrays negative image. Our children are basically, most lot of them look like him. And almost all of them, I would say 99.9999% are law-abiding citizens. But those all kids are seen as potential terrorists by the law enforcement and some of our fellow Americans. And believe me, we go out of our way. Like, we have to work three times yes. harder to prove our innocence and our patriotism.
Yes. And Zafar, I'm going to leave it there, and I appreciate all your points. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
John in Paramus, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Yeah, first of all, he doesn't really look like a rock star. Any rock star I know. He looks like a regular person, a regular guy. That's what he was trying to do, to blend in with society. People, as usual, overreact. If they read even the cover and read the article, they find out what kind of monster this guy was. So people shouldn't just jump to conclusions right away. And it's not glorifying anything. That's the picture of him. And when you open it inside, you see the other pictures of him.
John, thank you. Farouk in Secaucus, you're on WNYC. Hi, Farouk.
Yes, congratulations, you're a first-time caller. You have a fabulous program.
Thank you, Farouk.
I'm a Muslim. I'm 46 years in this country. I was a second generation of my descendants. And every time we sit, all of them they grew up with the Pledge of the Legions. I'm a white Muslim. The way the media and the press and some neocons or prejudiced people left personal anger on their own kind, they devoted into the Muslim world.
Farouk, I'm going to apologize. Our line is so bad that I think most of the listeners can't understand what you're saying. So please call us again. I'm glad you were a first-time caller. But see if you can get on a better phone line, or maybe we'll just get lucky the next time you're on. And we had a bad connection. Jennifer in Manhattan, you're going to get our last 30 seconds here. Hi, Jennifer.
Yes, good morning, Brian. I'm calling because I just wanted – I'm not going to kind of go on either side of whether this – supports or negates the terrorism kind of presentation, but that certainly somebody who appears affable, engaging, charming. I mean, these are the slick covers of psychopaths, and I think by all accounts, this is a classic psychopathic personality who has engaged in and ultimately committed a horrifying act. And psychopaths are
notorious. So you can't trust anybody. Right? The most normal-looking person could be the biggest psychopath.
The answer is that I think as a society, we have to understand, yes, you cannot go by a person's appearance. You go, and that psychopaths do, as the previous caller said, blend in very well and very convincingly.
And Jennifer, I'm sorry to say we're out of time, so that's the last word. Listeners, thanks for your calls on this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.